So I just want to introduce our first speaker. The title of her presentation is Let's Get Together, Putting Together the Building Blocks of a Strong Health in All Policies Initiative. The speaker is Rebecca Johnson. Rebecca is a policy analyst at Change Lab Solutions, where she works in the areas of health in all policies, tobacco control, and environmental health. Much of her work focuses on advancing health equity through policy, systems, and environmental change. Prior to joining Change Lab Solutions, Becky worked at the National Association of County and City Health Officials, where she conducted research, developed tools and resources, and presented on a range of topics including comprehensive cancer control, health and all policies, environmental health, and food safety. She's also worked at the American Psychological Association, contributing to the development of trainings and materials for the socioeconomic status-related cancer disparities program. Becky graduated from UC Santa Barbara with a degree in cultural anthropology and George Washington University, where she received her MPH in health policy. Let's welcome Becky.
So, very long introduction. I should have given you the short version. So I am here today to talk to you about our new toolkit about health and all policies. But before I get started, I want to raise of hands. How many of you are familiar with Change Lab Solutions? Okay, about a quarter of you. We're a nonprofit based out of Oakland, California, and our mission is to build healthier communities for all through better laws and policies. And we work in a number of different areas, including tobacco control, healthy eating, active living, healthy planning, healthy affordable housing, and of course, health and all policies. And we have a multidisciplinary staff. I myself have a background in public health, as she mentioned, and then we have planners on board, and we also have a number of lawyers who work for us. And if anyone has ever worked with lawyers, you know that the lawyers always require you to read the fine print. So today, I just want to let you know that today's presentation is for informational purposes only, and it is not meant to be legal advice, and I am not your attorney. So I have to say that every time. So today's presentation, I'm not going to talk about the social determinants of health and why they are important to health. I'm not going to talk about why policy is important to health. What I'm going to talk about is our toolkit that is really about institutionalizing health and all policies across different sectors. If you are interested in kind of that more background information, we do have other materials that I will show at the end of today's presentation that you can access, and I'm very happy to share that information. And here my co-presenter will actually be talking about that too. So we'll have that question answered before the end of today's presentation. So let's just imagine that this is Susie, public health worker, and she's realized, you know, health and all policies is important, and that, you know, it's important to have policies working towards health, and that she has to work with other government agencies and sectors to get health promoting policies kind of integrated into policies, procedures, and decision making. So she goes out and she goes, well, let's start with transportation. We know it's important to have bike lanes and walkability and whatnot. And then she goes, oh wait, but I also need to work on housing because we know how important housing is to health. Oh, and then we need, you know, jobs. Jobs are important, economic development. Oh, and food and ag, you know, we want to have community gardens and whatnot. Air quality, we know how important air quality is to our health. Parks and rec, environmental protection, education, and before she knows it, she's overwhelmed by the number of sectors that she needs to work with and become a content expertise on and learn the language of those sectors. So we spent about 2 years looking at communities from Richmond, California to Richmond, Virginia, and everywhere in between, to look at what communities were doing to tackle this issue. You know, you don't want to be overwhelmed by a swarm of beautiful butterflies. So what needed to be done? And we found that a number of communities were adopting policies that included these kind of five key strategies. In that they would adopt an ordinance or a resolution, sometimes an executive order, that would require government agencies to convene and collaborate, basically create a team of all the leaders of all the different government agencies to come together, that they would engage and envision, meaning they'd go out and engage community members, they'd find out what communities members wanted and were concerned about, they'd look at the data, and they would create a vision for health. They would use that information to make a plan about how they were going to change how they did business to improve health, and that they would invest in change by developing tools and resources, providing trainings to staff, reallocating budgets, and then they would track progress over time to see how they were doing and to hold the initiative accountable. And what we found when we looked at these communities, they had done amazing things, truly amazing things. They had gotten health incorporated into the economic development plan. They had gotten health included into the general plan. They had gotten health included into the budgeting process, so that every government agency that has to submit a budget every year, that had to be include a consideration of health in that review process. And then the budget office would review that budget, and then they would approve based on whether or not health is being considered. We found that communities were making national headlines because they had enrolled record numbers of people in health insurance, that they had found ways to restructure how transit fees operate and so that they were more affordable. So we took that information and we compiled all of it into our toolkit from start to finish, how to permanently improve government through health and all policies. And this is really an implementation guide for three model policies that we developed. It's a model health and all policies resolution, a model health and all policies ordinance, and health and all policies and general plan language. And each of these model policies represent different opportunities that may be available to promote health and all policies and institutionalize it. I do have copies of the health and all policies ordinance up here in the front, so at the end of today's presentation, if you want a copy, please grab it. I'll also show you the link where you can access it. And for the rest of today's presentation, I'm really going to focus on the model health and all policies ordinance, in part because it's most comprehensive and also because we only have now 15 more minutes, 14 more minutes, I guess. And we're going to talk about what the language includes and how you go about implementing it. So that first strategy I talked about, convene and collaborate, that's about building a team to implement health and all policies. And in our ordinance, we say it establishes the health and all policies interdepartmental team, and that the team is going to be composed of representation from, and we provide a list of suggested agencies. Obviously, this would need to be tailored to each individual community. And this policy can be adopted by the city or county level. It can also be tailored to state level, but you'd want to contact us for how to do that. It identifies who will lead the initiative, and it requires that officials fully cooperate in the initiative. So the thing about policy is simply having it on the books is not enough to make it happen. We need to hold ourselves accountable to the policy, whether it's through enforcement or through active steps to make that policy come alive. So how do you put this into practice? Well, I want to just highlight a couple of strategies that come from start to finish. I'm not going to cover all of the strategies I would talk about, how to make this language really come to life, but I'm just going to highlight some of the most important. One is that when you're determining who will lead, communities have taken a number of different approaches to that. Some have created an Office of Health and All Policies, and when they did that, they found that it was really important whoever is the office is at least a cabinet-level office. Because if it's a program within another department, they can't work with other agencies as peers. So they need to, at the very least, be peers. Some communities would have the health department lead it, but in many communities, if you're a city-level community that doesn't have a city health department, it doesn't make sense for the county to run your health and all policies initiative. So instead, you might have the city manager's office or some other agency that makes appropriate sense. And we also found that, you know, it's important to identify or create a new team. So many communities have multi-agency task forces. You know, we've heard of task forces for hoarding. We've heard of childhood obesity task forces. I started in tobacco control. There's lots of coalitions around that. But many of the communities that we talked to found that they didn't have a task force that actually included leadership from every government agency at that level of government. And so they had to create this new one that would interface with those other existing interagency task forces. But this is really bringing together your leadership from all of your agencies. And then it's important to frame the initiative. From a global perspective, you might frame this in terms of health equity. That's the way our ordinance is currently framed. You might frame this in terms of just health or wellness or sustainability. It depends on the community and what they want. But however you frame this, communities needed to frame it as something that city staff or county staff is already doing, and that by working together, we can work together more efficiently, and we can achieve greater outcomes for the community, and we can make our day-to-day work easier. And so in all the communities where they had this kind of policy, they spent a lot of time making this case to government employees at all levels of government so that they really saw the value in working together and looking systematically at programs and policies and procedures to integrate health or health equity into decision-making. And then you always need to build relationships. Even though you may have a policy that requires everyone to come together and sit in a room, that doesn't mean they're going to like each other. And so many communities worked on relationship building exercises. I'm not sure that I would recommend trust falls as your first relationship building exercise, but certainly relationship building exercises are important. And why having this task force is, I'm going to skip that one. This task force is so important is it creates a sense of competition between government agencies. When every government agency is expected to show up and fully participate in the initiative, when they're expected to make reports on what they are doing, they start to hear, oh, transportation's done that. Oh, man, I have to step up my game, right? And so that's what this kind of facilitates. So the next strategy, engage and envision. Has anyone ever done a community health needs assessment or participated in one? This is kind of in line with that, maybe not quite as comprehensive, depends on the community. This is about going out and listening to residents and gathering data and creating a vision for health for the community. What's most important to community residents and what does the data show us about health inequities in the community? So in the ordinance, we see this in two parts. The first part, we see that we collect this information to inform the development of the plan for the city. So you might engage the community. The ordinance says that you will engage the community by systematically gathering broad input from stakeholders. You're going to identify areas of health inequities and priorities for improving health, and you're going to ensure that multiple perspectives are understood, considered, and reflected in decisions to achieve health equity. So again, how do you put this into practice? Well, first, you know, you can tap into existing meetings, but many communities have found that they had to be more proactive than that. They had to be creative in how they solicited feedback. In some communities, they had what was called a planning van, where they'd go out to community events, churches, and farmers markets and whatnot, and they would collect information, schools, from residents. And they made a number of communities paid special attention to gathering input from the full community. They intentionally sought to engage lower income communities, communities who had limited English proficiency, and communities of color. The other part we see this engage and envision in the ordinance is the ordinance requires the team shall ensure ongoing community engagement in developing the annual or biannual report. Now, if I had more time, I would talk about some of the other strategies that came up in talking to communities who had successfully implemented this. For example, some communities established a community advisory board that brought in people to routinely give input, not just when they were doing the annual or biannual report. And then you want to make a plan. And this is about setting goals and recommending changes, and bringing that plan to the people. So in the ordinance, we say that you are, as a city or county, are required to develop a strategic plan to integrate health and all policies approach into decisions and operations, and the team shall provide the strategic plan to the board by a certain date. That you're going to identify health equity indicators and benchmarks for each department to measure progress. And you're going to identify barriers to and opportunities for interdepartmental cooperation. And you're going to recommend changes to laws, regulations, policies, or procedures to implement a health and all policies approach. So again, how do we put this into practice? Well, first you want to identify policies and actions that can be taken together to improve health. And we often think about government in terms of the services it provides, but we also need to think about other roles that government has as an employer. You know, are there employee wellness policies that you can do? Is it how you fund projects? How you educate the general population? How you collect data? Are just some of the examples of different roles that government has. And then when you want to think about policies, and especially policies that address equity issues, some policies can be community-wide, like housing. Affordable housing policies are community-wide, and they help address health inequities. But you also may want to think about how policies are implemented. For example, if you have, say, $1 million for Parks Department to build a new park, where are you allocating those funds? Are you building that park in an affluent neighborhood that already has 27 parks and lots and low obesity rates, or are you going to the part of the community where there are no parks and higher obesity rates? And you want to include in this report guidance that each agency can apply and have each department make commitments. And I skip ahead to invest in change. So the other thing in these ordinances, they had many ways for investing in change. And this could be as simple as staff training, allocating staff time, jointly financing initiatives, or changing a budget. So in the ordinance, we say identify the need for and sources of funding to implement the health and all policies approach. Recommend changes to training for officials and employees to integrate a health and all policies approach in decision-making, operations, financial allocations, and delivery of services. And that the team shall oversee the development of analytical tools needed to collect data and analyze the health impact of policies. For many departments, this is going to be a new approach that they're not comfortable with. So many communities have had to develop health checklists or health evaluation forms. In some instances, they have gone so far as to require health impact assessments, depending on how large of a project it is. In Denver, they are now for any neighborhood, large-scale neighborhood development, they require a health impact assessment. But they also do assessments on a much smaller scale for some of the smaller decisions that may not require a full HIA. So with training staff, you want to think about if you're doing in-person trainings, if you're doing stuff over the intranet, if you're incorporating it into new employee orientation so it's consistent. You want to tailor trainings to the local context, really giving local examples and whatnot. You also want to think about your contracting system. You know, are you incorporating health into new buildings that are being built and those decisions about that? Are you incorporating health into procurement and what you're purchasing? And, you know, as I mentioned, many communities have integrated it into decision-making, like King County, which pulled equity into a central role in budget decisions. So now that every decision considers, every budget decision has to consider health and health equity. And then you want to track progress. And this is about accountability, evaluation, and recommendations. The ordinances, the team shall prepare and provide a report, and it talks about what the report should cover. And that each department is required to report for that report. We're not going to talk about this right now, but if we have more time, I'm happy to answer questions at the end of today's presentation. But again, we have these three model policies. They all cover these kinds of topics. They're really useful for communities that really want to institutionalize their health and all policies approach. And this is the guide that explains how do you make that policy come to life? How do you make it so that your transit department is lowering fees based on charging fees for riders based on income and not just a flat rate for the entire county or city? We also have a presentation here that is available for you to use. Please contact me afterwards. You can also, if you want to have one-on-one technical assistance, we do provide that for free. If you have questions about how to get started, is this legal, if you want us to review a model ordinance, you can do that. So please visit changelabsolutions.org or email me directly for more information. Thank you very much.